Good morning.
Good morning.
I'd like to welcome everybody today. We've got a number of visitors with us today. We're very glad that you came to worship with us. If there's anything we can do for you, please let us know. We would like to help you in any way we can. We need to remember Brother Dick Craig is homesick. He's got a bad cough. We need to remember him. And I want to remind everybody, tonight is our last Sunday of the month. We'll be having a singing and scripture service and a finger food potluck tonight. So I want to welcome everybody back tonight at 5:30. Let's go ahead and get into our lesson. It is titled, A Walk Worthy. We're here this morning to acknowledge our God, to worship Him, to sing praises unto Him, to go to Him in prayer. We also have partaken of the Lord's Supper. Jesus wanted us to do it weekly in remembrance of Him. But in the in-between time, between now and next Sunday, when we're left up to our own devices, God wants us to have a walk that is worthy of our name being a Christian.
Amen.
Not to just put a hat on to come to worship, to put a mask, to put a plastic name tag on that says we're a Christian, but to live it and to have a walk that is worthy of the sacrifice given for us.
Amen.
And a walk worthy of that name, Christian. Rader read us in our scripture reading this morning. Paul wrote from Ephesians, the 4th chapter, verse 20, says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you. These are no small terms he's using. He's reminding the Christians there in Ephesus that he's a prisoner, not just of Rome, a prisoner of the Lord. He's chosen to be that bond servant. And he says, I beseech you. He's begging them, you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. We were called out of this world to a higher walk than everybody else, and to live up to it. In Colossians, he says much of the same thing. We were discussing this in Wednesday night Bible class last week. The repeat messages that Paul makes, the repeated messages Jesus made. If Jesus says something one time, if the Apostle Paul says one thing, we need to sit up and take note of it. But when things are repeated, obviously the Ephesians needed to have heard what Paul said. The Christians in Colossae needed to hear almost the same message. And us today, there's no shortage of us needing to hear that. Paul says that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. You know, we will have that worthy walk when we do those things, and we will be fully pleasing to Him when we're fruitful in the works that we're committing and increasing in the knowledge of God. Not having that attitude, oh, I read that once. I read that once before. I don't need to read it again. Or I've already heard that. But increasing in that walk. He told the Philippians, Paul said, the things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do. You know, they learned it and they received it. They took it in. They heard, but not only that, they saw Paul live it. Paul just didn't give them lip service. They saw what he did. They saw his example. And he tells them, these do. And the God of peace will be with you. We have that worthy walk one way in conduct. Our behavior, the things that we do, the attitude in which we display them. A lot of times people separate attitude from what we do, but they're linked together. Most people, if we don't have the attitude with the right action, they see it. They see that conduct if it doesn't measure up to our attitude. How we deal with others, how we deal with situations. It's not so much that are we as Christians going to face trials and tribulations. We are. Every one of us. We don't have a force field around us just because we're a Christian. We still face the natural consequences of life that everybody else does. But it's how we deal with them that we can show others that walk and our conduct. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, starting in verse 10, Paul wrote, you are witnesses, and God also, how devoutly and justly and blamelessly we behaved ourselves among you who believe. As you know, how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you, as a father does his own children, that you would walk worthy of God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. That's sometimes, that last verse, verse 12, sometimes when I sit and think about that, that I was called by God into his kingdom. I kind of think of Moses. You know, we've been talking about Moses in our Sunday morning Bible class. You want who? You want me? Bruce? Are you sure you got the right guy? What can I do for you? But to realize that we've been called into his kingdom and into his glory. But Paul is telling the Christians in Thessalonica the same things he told the Ephesians, the Colossians, the Philippians. He says, you're witnesses, God also. God knows what I'm saying. How they behaved and you saw it. The conduct that we had in front of you. They gave them an example. And Paul to the Philippians says, the things you saw and heard, you know, and learned from us, you do them also. There's no excuse, because we not only told you, but you saw us do them. You saw our conduct, saying the same thing to the Christians here in Thessalonica. In John 15, verse 4, Jesus says, abide in me. Live in me. Abide is where we live. not visit once in a while, abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Jesus is wanting us to be interchangeable with him, to abide, to live in him, not come and go on Sundays, not get our Sunday go to meeting clothes on, as they used to say, and then take them off. Take our church attitude, our church behavior, our church conduct when we walk out the door, that we've done what we needed to do while we were here. That's important, but not to just leave it at the door. Abide in me, he says. You know, we could go on much longer with the conduct aspect, but I want to look at our speech, but some of the things with conduct, how we dress, both ways. What message are we saying by our dress? Are we, you know, a lot of times we automatically think, are we dressing discreetly? But are we dressing humbly? Or are we showing everybody what we got by how we dress? Are we flaunting it? Are we dressing with purpose? We're in election season right now. How we vote. I'm not going to tell you who to vote for. That's up to you. But I will tell you, as a Christian, vote your Christian principles.
Amen.
We have an opportunity. We live in a country where we have freedom of religion. Everybody has freedom of religion. Don't let that one out. Everybody, nobody can tell you how to worship except God. God's told us how to worship. We live in a country where we won't be penalized for how we worship. But research candidates, research parties, do they represent the Christian values that you want to endorse? I'm not going to tell you who to vote for. Just vote your Christian values. Let your voice be heard. Here's one. Everybody lift your feet up. How we drive. Does our conduct of a Christian reflect in the way we drive? You know, do we let our light shine? And I'm not just saying our the headlights. Do we let our light shine in conduct the way we drive? And the list goes on. Another category, in addition to conduct, that I'd like for us to look at is our speech. There's what we do, and then there's the way we talk. How we talk. The language we use. Good and bad. Do we use our speech for good purposes or for bad purposes? Do we use it for encouraging, for teaching sound doctrine? Or is it discouraging? Does it sow division among the brethren? Is it gossip? Does it teach false doctrine? All of that. In James, and we normally go to James when we start talking about our language and so forth. James in chapter 3, starting in verse 2, says, "For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, also able to bridle, excuse me, he's a perfect man, also able to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. It amazes me. You look at those big animals, and a little metal bit in their mouth, we can control, we, our size, can control a horse. It's amazing. He goes on, even another example. He says, look also at ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder, wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. So every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. With it, I tell you, these last two verses really drive the point home. James says, with it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men. We have been made, who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Should not be like that. In Proverbs 4, verse 24, we're told, put away from you a deceitful mouth and put perverse lips far from you. Good words to live by. A simple one verse of how to live. In Proverbs 13, verse 3, we have a commendation. He who guards his mouth preserves his life, but he who opens wide his lips shall have destruction. Words to think about what we say, how we say it, the tone. Whoever guards his mouth and tongue keeps his soul from troubles. That sums it up right there. To have a walk worthy of Christ is one to pay attention to our behavior, how we conduct ourselves, but also how we speak, what we speak, who to, how. This week, let's not just drop our church stuff. They're not accessories. We have to live as Jesus says, abide with him. Let's just not drop the stuff at the door. Let's take it with us as we go into this new week. And let our light shine. Let's have that walk that's worthy and glorifies Jesus. Who Michael's, his comments today at the Lord's Supper, he gave all for us. Amen. And we're being reminded to have a walk worthy of that sacrifice. If we can assist you with the invitation, if there's anybody here that hasn't put their Lord on in baptism, the waters are ready. If there's anybody that needs to repent of sin, if there's anybody that needs prayers of the congregation, we will pray with and for you. Whatever your need, please come forward while Kurt leads us in the invitation. Let's all stand and sing together.